You are listening to and are watching our podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. My name is Jamie Birchall, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Carl D'Angelo of IE Pinball. Carl, welcome to the Wormhole virtually.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the invite.
How you feeling, first of all?
Doing well. Doing well now. Yeah.
Okay, good, because I understand you know, you were ill during Indisc, but I also heard you managed to put in a pretty decent one card.
Yeah, I got one card in on Friday, just enough to get somewhere in the mid-70s, I think, in the end of things. But yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled to have so much help during the event.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But for those that don't know, Indisc stands for Never Drains in Southern California, and it's been held since, what, 2012?
I think. Right around there. Right around there, yeah.
Have you always been involved with Indisc?
Yeah, since day one. It was myself and Jim. We wanted a tournament local to Southern California because at the time there weren't any big tournaments in Southern California. So there was California Extreme. We'd all travel to Northern California for the big event every year. But we wanted one here. So it started small and grew and grew and grew beyond our expectations.
Wow. I mean, you won in 2015 and 17, right? Some other notable names that have won the Open include Escher Lefkoff, Zach McCarthy, now twice, and Keith Ellen won a few, just to name a few people. When was it a major? When was it always considered a major?
No, it was once we were at the Riverside Convention Center, right? 3 years ago. So Zach McCarthy was the first one that won the Open itself.
Okay.
I believe. I'm pretty sure.
No, no worries.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but yeah. So the last 3 years, I believe, Zach McCarthy after Escher Lefkoff and Zach McCarthy again. So they've won the majors.
And what are the other majors for those that don't know?
We have the IFPA World Championships. We have the European Pinball Championships, the EPC. We have Pinburg now coming back this year.
Coming back, right?
And then the defunct one is PAPA, the PAPA World Championships.
Okay. So this year you were really unable to produce because you weren't feeling well, but I understand Jordan and Rebecca Fliptronic and the Pluto from Twitch helped you tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. Without their help, there wouldn't have been a stream this year.
It was amazing.
Phenomenal. They did fantastic. I couldn't have asked for anyone better to be helping out.
Yeah. Were you stressed watching them, or were you stressed for them, or?
I was a little stressed for them, a little stressed watching. There was one moment where Jordan panicked a bit because someone on the telestrator held their finger down, which then wiped out the entire screen, and it's the projector screen in OBS, so he didn't know how to get it back. So furiously texting with him and gotten a video call finally and got it taken care of. But outside of that, everything went pretty smoothly, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, it was an amazing production. You had, what, 15,000 viewers at one point on Twitch?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's just incredible.
It's insane. And that's all thanks to Pluto, you know, getting us on the front page.
Well, it was also really a phenomenal production. And, you know, Zach McCarthy winning the Open again and Dalton, Eli winning high stakes was just amazing viewing. I mean, I was up till 2 a.m. and it was just amazing pinball, so congratulations on another great stream there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's shift for a few moments. You're currently ranked 30th in the pro ranking and 36th in the open ranking. I have no idea what a pro ranking is. Can you kind of tell me what the difference is?
The pro rankings are the top 250 players are weighted on a different scale. It takes your effective percentage, effective something into account. So, and it's, it basically just changes how it's calculated. To be honest, I haven't been following too much of the IPA stuff. I mean, I watch it, but it's gotten to the point that I'm not actively watching my own ranking and how to improve it, especially with the pro rankings, because it's a different calculation than the main. But I know I did, because I didn't play in Discord where I actually dropped quite a bit. Other people, you know, bumped up. There were so many points available at Indisc.
Oh yeah. My reason for my question is I don't have a pro ranking, and I was just wondering, you know, what the heck that was. And since I'm 2000th in the world in IFBA, I think it's going to be a really long time before I get that pro ranking. So another question going back to pinball skill set, did you have like an aha moment when you first started playing where you said, you know what? I'm pretty good at this.
As a kid, I always played. I just didn't know about tournaments. So I remember, you know, riding my bike down to the local pizza joint, playing Adam's Family, touring the mansion, doing that kind of stuff on all the games I would play. But I had no idea if I was good or not at the time. And then going to tournaments, I won the first league season I was ever in at the Orange County Pinball League. And that's kind of when I went, okay, maybe I am good at this, and yeah, I should start traveling and trying for stuff. You know, and I put the IFPA World Championships that were in Bainbridge Island at Tom McCulloch's house. That was the first time I really said, okay, I'm going to be serious. I'm going to work this year and try to get into that world championship. And I was able to. And I took sixth or seventh there, I think it was, for my first IFPA Worlds, which was phenomenal. And, yeah, you know, that kicked things off, really.
One of the things I watch, you know, when I'm watching these competitive pinball, is how patient they are. I saw this at NDISC. We saw it this week. We streamed the Texas State Championships. You guys tend not to flip unnecessarily. And the biggest thing is you go for like this bang for your buck. If it's too risky, not going to do it. I mean, do you find the patience is a key for some amateur players, for them to get going?
Oh, absolutely. It's about planning your shots out and planning, you know, having just a game plan in general when you're playing. Take it easy. Don't rush. I like to say one of the best training formats is it's not played much, but the heads up pinball format. I don't know if you've seen any of this where you have two games side by side and you're racing to a goal, but yeah, there's something about the format that, you know, everyone wants to rush through it. So it's kind of, you know, similar to this, but if you take your time, slow down, if you're the player that's calm and relaxed, you're probably the one that's going to win that battle. And the same thing goes in regular tournament play. You just want to take your time, plan your shots. I like to cradle up. Not everyone does. Some people play on the fly, and they play a lot better on the fly. So there's, you know, different player styles. But I definitely find for most people, if they slow down, take the time, their skill set will improve.
Yeah, I've noticed that. But I went from down to like 1500-ish, and so I'm started making a move, and then I wasn't dead bouncing well enough. So now I've tried to incorporate that in my game, and it's just put me in a tizzy. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there. I mean, it's fun. I'm not gonna be in the top 1000, but I just enjoy the hell out of playing, and I love the competitive aspect of it. It's just really fun.
But you might be. Why wouldn't you be?
I don't know, the time, the games, knowledge that you guys have. I'm starting to get it just because I commentate so much, but
it takes a lot of time. You have to know all the games. One of the things I was talking with Rebecca recently, and yeah, we're talking about, she really wants to win the women's state championship in Texas. So we're actually talking about analyzing her play and going over, you know, watching her stream, and, you know, I give her some pointers on, you know, what she did here, what she did there, why did you make this decision? And it's something I think anyone that wants to improve their game, you know, go back and review your footage if you can, or record yourself playing and watch the footage. See if you, you know, pause, you know, if you see a crucial moment coming, pause the video and think, okay, what would you do in this situation? Would you dead bounce? Would you drop catch? And see if you can predict what you did. And if you didn't, then maybe in the future you will.
That is phenomenal advice, ladies and gentlemen. No, really, that's great advice. You know, it makes me think. I went back onto your videos on demand on YouTube, and you've got a lot of them. And you started streaming all the way back in 2012, right? You streamed the first one you did? You recorded it.
I mean, it's been a while.
But you did stream 2015. You made like massive strides in production, right? I mean, you started, you probably went from a phone or from one camera to this production. I mean, was anyone else really streaming competitive pinball back in 2015?
So yeah, there was Papa was streaming. Okay. A couple of things. There were, and then you also had the Elwins, Keith and Randy, were actually taking recorded video of gameplay at the California Extreme when they went. They had a whole rig that they would bring and then record it for later. But Papa, when they had their Kickstarter, their final goal was our tournament. And that kind of kicked off, you know, when I knew they weren't going to come the next year to stream it, because they were the first ones to stream Indisc. I went, okay, it's time to pick up more equipment and try and, you know, have a production of their scale.
Yeah. Well, I think your production is unbelievable. Let's talk about tournament streaming real quick, because I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do is to tournament stream here at the Wormhole. And, you know, we're just trying not to so much copy you, but just go, okay, I mean, how can we incorporate this? I love how he's doing this. I love what they're doing here. I mean, it's really a compliment. I mean, you've really set the bar very high for us, a little too high sometimes. Because when I watch your streams really quick, I think I'm watching ESPN, maybe the Ocho, but I really do think it's like an ESPN event.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a vast technology background that kind of helps you with this?
Yeah, I've always been in IT for my professional career. So it just comes naturally to me. You know, working in OBS and, you know, all the cameras have just been a hobby. You know, and just upgraded over the years, you know, as
so you're a constant tinkerer, right? You're constantly trying to make it better.
I'm always changing. Every year I've got something new on the rig. Like this year, the new thing, my favorite thing from Indisc was buying these massive batteries. I mean, these gigantic single batteries that I don't have to worry about, you know, the little ones and plugging them in constantly.
I've got 8 of them.
Yeah, exactly. So because I knew I had space between games to use this thing. I love it. It you know, like 60% of the battery.
Yeah, I bought those for TPF because we got Classics, Wizards, all these things, right? And at the end of the day, you're right. It's 60%. You've only used 60%. I mean, it's just incredible, these batteries. You can't take them on a plane. You're not supposed to, anyway.
Yeah.
But so you use OBS. Can I ask you, you seem to be the OBS expert. Why does it crash, and why does that happen to me?
Well, I have mine crash too. I actually switched from XSplit to OBS just maybe 3 years ago. I was using XSplit for the longest time.
Oh, really?
I finally went to, yeah, and then that thing just, they stopped supporting it, really. And OBS had more features, more everything, you know, plugins. So, no, why does it crash? I could not tell you, to be honest.
I was hoping for that. That
if I use studio mode on mine, I mean, it does crash. So that's one thing I'm annoyed with, is like at Indisc, I'd really like to use studio mode so I can see what's coming up and not be blind going into a camera. But that makes my machine crash for whatever reason.
Yeah, mine is Windows Capture. Windows Capture function itself will get caught up.
Okay.
I don't know, but I got to use it.
You have to, try different browsers. You haven't already. You know, normally I'm using Firefox for whenever I do a window capture instead of Chrome or Edge.
I use Firefox.
Okay, well then that's not going to help you out.
We'll figure that out. No worries. You don't get on air very much when you're at Indisc, as
no.
much. No, you prefer to have a group of commentators.
Yeah, it's always a group of commentators, and that's Jeff Teolis that's organizing that for me.
Yeah.
And he does a fantastic job putting the team together. We pre-schedule it so that everyone knows when they're coming on, and so there's no surprises. So we're always ready, and he has a couple backups in case, you know, someone that was supposed to be in the booth is actually playing in finals. But it's the last 2 years we've done that, and it's helped out tremendously just with the quality of the group and the commentating.
I need to do that for TPF because it's kind of a flowing thing.
Yeah.
And I don't like that as much. I need the organization for it. And it drives me bananas. And then I don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? By saying no, Bob Matthews has only been on for 15 minutes. You know, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so I need that structure. And we'll see if I can pull that off.
I mean, on the flip side, if you don't do that, people tend, you know, there are some that will tend to stay in the booth for 6 or 8 hours, and you don't want that. It's nice to rotate out everybody and have a fresh perspective, you know, around.
You don't show your commentators much because
right.
What's that philosophy? Because is ESPN doesn't show, you know.
I mean, the focus of the tournament isn't on the commentators, it's on the players. So that's right. Why I want to focus in on the specific people playing. And that's why we follow the same group for an entire round. You want to watch that story of these four players and how they do, how they progress.
How many rigs do you have?
I have 2 rigs. And the second rig, I mean, I've had 2 rigs for a while. The Indisc was the first time I'd actually tried using both at once. I don't know if I'll do it again at the convention center because the Wi-Fi is just an absolute mess. They are just blasting the entire room with massive amounts of 2.4 and 5 gigahertz to the point that things just drop out. It's wild. But yeah, two rigs. Normally at home, I use wireless, but after Indisc, I rewired things up for actually a wired connection here. So
we used our first two rigs. I call it the two rig system, and because I'm a dork. And so I implemented the two rig system first time Texas State Championships.
Okay.
Rebecca's in here with me, and it is rocking. What we did is we did a primary group, kind of like golf, right? You've got your foursome that you want to follow.
Yep.
And I called the other rig two pop-in group. For 3 hours, Carl, perfect.
Yep.
And it all went to hell. It all went to hell. All my other cameras on rig two, I had a perfect rig one that was all set, and I tinkered with other things for rig two, and it just didn't work. So that was not ready for prime time. So I just scrapped it in the semis and followed just one group.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what we did at the end of Indisc. I told them turn off that second rig because it was causing interference. And I wanted to make sure that primary rig was always rock solid.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
I saw them do that. And I said, oh, that won't happen to me.
So the one thing I have been working on is trying to, I want to get a dedicated computer on each rig. And then I only have one wireless transmitter. So I basically pop everything into a local OBS on the rig itself. And then I have one transmitter going back to the main station. And then I could, theoretically run up to six rigs if I'm running six wireless connections. I won't have six rigs because that's a ridiculous amount of equipment. But the idea is that less interference with Wi-Fi, you're using less wireless transmitters. So hopefully.
I've got six Exoons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I think that's my limit, or my wife will murder me if I buy more Exoons.
I'm with you there.
I mean, my God. Do you prefer a three or two person booth?
It depends on the tournament. The larger tournaments, I want three. On anything small, I'll take a two.
Okay. Do you have official rig mover?
No, it's usually me. This year was the first time I really had help that I felt I could count on moving the rig.
I don't have. Because I'm on air, right? So I'm jumping all back and forth. And so I like a couple of players that I know I trust as rig movers. And so you'll see me tend to follow them a little more. I don't mean it. I just trust them to put it in. Wesley, he knows that he's very, very trusted. So what kind of cameras do you like to choose? And I'm not going to rip everything you say off. I'm just curious.
No, it's fine. I've always meant to get a website up with all my equipment. I just never have. It's just the time to put stuff together. But I'm using all Sony ZV-1s now, or ZV-1 Mark IIs. I have one ZV-1 Mark II, and everything else is ZV-1s. I buy them used on Amazon.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. You must be fighting with me because
I'm done. Done. No more.
All right, because I only have two, and then I bought a ZV-1F, and I don't like it. So
no, yeah, because I want the zoom capability. Yeah. Even though I add wide-angle lenses to my ZV-1s.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so for the player and the score, I add those, not for the play field. That's just
stock. Play field's fine. Player, score, wide angle lens. Especially the score.
Yeah, that way, and I put those on a really long magic arm so that I can move it where I need to get the scores.
All right. That's some good information there, ladies and gentlemen, for me and nobody else. But I'm sorry about that. We had Texas State Championship this weekend, and former champ Kyle McCompany was sitting next to me. And he's commentating, and he goes, do you have a tablet for me? I said, dude, my name is Jamie. It is not Carl. I do not have a tablet for you. You have to point to your screen that I gave you, and I'll use Epic Pen. The tablet system seems brilliant. It's awesome.
The tablet as in the Telestrator?
The Telestrator that you have for everyone.
And all that is a touchscreen monitor. That's all you need it for OBS.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah. So like I've got one of my mobile rig right here. This is a touchscreen that I use for when I'm streaming here at home. And then everything else, I've got a Dell touchscreen, secondary monitor on my main PC. And then there's a whiteboard plugin written by actually a pinball community member, Mike Welsh.
What do you have moving forward stream wise? What do you have coming up?
Nothing. Well, I'll be streaming Pinburg in July. I'm actually going to send all my equipment out there to do that. Apart from that, I do Wednesday nights as much as I can for my home streams. And then Ace Gogi, whenever we have a launch party, we'll do the heads up launch finals.
Are you going to stream the international, the internet or the what is it, this in Southern California, the Nationals or the not
Yes.
Nationals, what is it, the
The one
World?
that, yeah, the Worlds, I'll
That's
stream
what I
that
mean to
at
say.
Jim Belsito's, yeah.
Okay, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, that should be fun. I'm yeah.
Do you have less stress on your Wednesday streams than you do on the tournaments? Because I have these, we do Monday night streams and they're very unstressful at all. It's just, who cares?
Yeah. I'd say so. I mean, I can still, like, when I'm streaming on my own, if I'm getting close to one of my goals, I can start getting nervous and stressed at that point. But the actual stream itself, yeah,
Yeah.
it's more casual.
One day I want to invite you to Houston, not only for the Houston Arcade Expo, which is a blast, by the way. It's more of a fun party than it is, but the tournament's serious, Bay City Open, but the expo itself's just a blast. But we are building a museum, and I want you to come to the Wormhole because this place is really awesome. I think you'd really love it. I don't know if you can see the pins behind me, but
Yeah,
this.
and I've heard about it recently from Michael Polaro, I believe, was out there.
Oh, what? Yeah, he came in and he sent us an email and he said, "Hey, I'm going to be in town. Any chance you could be open?" And I said, "Well, it's Wednesday night, tech night. You want to come and grab a cloth?" And he, I didn't put him to work or anything. He
Yeah.
can play as much as he wants. He's a good dude. But
Go to the Houston Arcade Expo this past year, but I had to cancel that trip. But yeah, one day I've been meaning to get to it.
are you going to go to TPF this year?
Not this year. Not
Okay.
this
A lot of people aren't going to TPF. They just couldn't get it in their schedule this year. It's
year. Like, a lot of travel is, a lot of people are cutting down on travel this year.
yeah. Of course, you can contact the Wormhole at wormholepinball@gmail.com, and please let us follow us on Twitch and YouTube and all the social media platforms. All of your videos on demand can be viewed on VODs on YouTube, right? On IE Pinball.
Most of them, yeah.
And, you have to check those out. And you already have 9,000 individuals on Twitch. Why not get to 10,000? I think you're right there that are following you on Twitch. Carl, thanks again for hanging out with me tonight. I really appreciate it. I wanted to make it a short and sweet interview and just hang out with you for a little bit virtually at the Wormhole. And thank you for everything you've done for this hobby and sport. I really appreciate it. And I love streaming competitive pinball and I love watching you guys do it. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. I really appreciate that.
No, listen, thank you so much for taking your time with me this evening. I really appreciate it. Sorry I was a little nervous, but you're Carl D'Angelo. You're you and Fox Cities and JDL are what we're striving to do here, right? I mean, you guys just have really set the bar very high, and I appreciate that because I really don't look at anyone as competitors, right? I look at everyone as different channels.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I always look at it too. And I'm always, helping. If
You
you ever need
really,
help with
really
anything,
are.
just send me a message.
And Jim Lindsay's the same way, right? And Fox Cities is the exact same way. Everyone in this community is so helpful and is so appreciative because one day what I really love is like a sub thing on Twitch. This is pinball competitive streaming or something. How cool would that be?
Another type of category kind of
Another
thing.
category under pinball, right? Pinball, competitive pinball. It would just be so awesome because the sport has really grown. And it's thanks to people like yourself and Papa and everyone who's made it happen. So.
Well, we might know the guy
Yeah, I know, but that would be awesome,
to
because I think it's growing as a sport. It doesn't have to be on the Ocho, all right? It can be really a cool thing. So, Carl, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. Sorry for getting nervous, but we'll get through it.
all good, Jamie.
It's
Thank
more
you.
editing on Jamie's behalf.
Yeah, that's not fun. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm getting good at it when you screw up as much as I do.
All
Thank you, Carl. You have a
right.
great
Thanks,
day,
Jamie.
and I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
Wow, that was one of the first times in an interview that I've had that I was actually really, really nervous. And it's just I'm very, very appreciative of Carl and taking the time to meet with me and talk with me and give his knowledge, because he worked really hard. He built such a phenomenal stream, and for him to take the time to meet with me was really appreciative. Really want to thank Tim and Christine Hood for making all this possible for us, and also for opening up this great place for the Texas State Championship, for both the Open and for the Women's Championship. What a weekend we had here. We had a phenomenal weekend, and I just want to give some quick thanks to everyone here. So I'm going to look over to the side. But first of all, John Spates, feel better, buddy. Okay. Thanks again for all your hard work this last weekend. You were incredible. Kyle McAlpine, Phil Grimaldi, and Elizabeth Tronet for putting up the amazing state finals. They just did a phenomenal job. They really did. And all the techs that make these machines completely sing. Brian, Zach, Lee, Spence, Mike Flanagan, Travis Mosman, Alex, and Brandon for helping me with the two-rig system. We'll get it. We'll get it down, brother. And last but not least, my beautiful wife, Janine, who not only puts up with me and puts up with this hobby, but really supports it and supports what we're doing here at the Wormhole. And she is the first one here after a big tournament to come and clean the next day. And she's the best. I mean, what are you going to say about her? She's the best. I love you so much. And I'll be back next week. Wormhole Pinball Presents with Rachel Ristow of Wisconsin fame. That should be a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. I really appreciate you. And we're getting better. We're getting better.